Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, let's pick up where we were last time. Matthew chapter 5, let's start at the beginning. "And seeing the multitudes, he," meaning Jesus, "went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Heavenly Father, once again, we appreciate the opportunity to come and to be in your presence. I'm so glad that Jesus went to the cross for me. I'm so glad that my sins could be washed away and my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm looking forward to the day when I can walk in at heaven's gates, walk on the streets of gold, walk on the banks of the wonderful river, and walk into the throne of God and fall at your feet, O Lord. I'm so thankful that my eternal abode is set and that I'm on my way to heaven and not to that other place. Thank you, Father. Please bless the service and help us to be in awe of the Lord. And in that wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We started to talk about persecution last time. You know, this list of being poor in spirit. And we saw that it was a progression. And I don't want to go over it again, but we saw a progression of a sinner coming to God. Poor in spirit, he has to be humble in order to be saved. But when you get to verse 10, being persecuted for righteousness' sake, just being a Christian, you find yourself persecuted just for being a Christian. There are times in my walk that I've been threatened with bodily harm. Remember one time, was at my apartment in Baton Rouge. This was a long time ago. And I had seen this man once before and had witnessed to him once before, and he threatened to punch me out if I didn't stop. I don't know what the deal was. He was a delivery man or something, and I had seen him somewhere else, but there he was in the driveway of my apartment complex. I was on my bike fixing to take a right out of the complex, go up Dalrymple and to the campus. And this guy was there. I don't know what he was doing there. I guess, like I said, he was a delivery man, and I started to witness to him, and he was upset, but instead of hitting me, he thanked me and accepted what I had to say, and then I rode off, and I guess he rode off, and I don't know what happened. But just for being a Christian, just for saying, hey, let me tell you what God did for me, I was threatened. There have been other times that I've been maligned, I don't know, threatened or not. I've had words thrown at me. That was when I was active, not just being merciful, not just being meek, but I was being a peacemaker. You know, there's a progression here. And again, I won't go through it all, but if you look at it, you start from being a sinner, then you become a peacemaker, someone that brings or carries the gospel of peace, not just sitting on your blessed assurance, but actively trying to win souls. And as the scripture says, he that winneth souls is wise. I'm going to come back to this, but I want to jump down to verse 13. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. These beatitudes, some would say, or someone has said that these are the attitudes you should be at. Bad English. But this is how you should act. Christians don't riot in the streets. They don't occupy various streets. They petition quietly, I suppose. For instance, the Tea Party gathering a year or so ago, when they went to the mall at Washington, something like well over 500,000 people. And when they were done, they picked up all their trash. There were no arrests, nothing. You get six hippies in some city district, and they cause all kind of mayhem, get arrested, smoke pot, get disease, whatever. It's a difference. Just being a Christian is a testimony. The salt of the earth. We season the earth. But if you lose your saltiness, if you forget how to act, if you act mad, if you try to hit people over the head with the gospel or what have you, or you get involved in politics and march in front of abortion clinics and make a lot of noise, you're losing your savor. We have the wonderful opportunity to participate here in the United States in our government. It's a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's not a king or a dictator. At least not so far. But we can participate. I, Joey Kelly, if I was stupid enough, I could run for office and theoretically gain it. So we're part of the government. Other countries are not that way. It's those in power are in power, and those that are not, well, you have absolutely no hope of getting into power. We should be involved in the process, but too often we take it too far. And I'd like to say that all of the effort, and we still have Obama for a second term. Abortion, well, it's not going to be removed anytime soon. We should remember that our job is to be salt and not lose our savor. If we are, we become nothing. We're cast out, and the world walks all over us, trodden under foot of men. But then it says in verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Again, as a peacemaker, trying to tell others about the Lord. We're the light of the world. The only answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Buddha has nothing. Muhammad has absolutely nothing. You name the religion, you name the philosophy, they're all bankrupt. The only message that counts, the only message that can get you to heaven, is that Jesus saves, heals, delivers, baptizes in the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is coming again. But we're to be the light of the world. And it says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel or a basket, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Then he says in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If we've been given a talent, we need to use that talent. If we've been given salvation, we need to tell others about it. But back to the persecution. It's part of the gospel. I said this morning in another church where I preached that God calls us to take up our cross and to follow Him. The cross, an instrument of Jesus' death. Nobody wants to die. But Jesus suffered. Jesus was spat upon, His beard plucked from His face, and He was forced to carry His own cross, the instrument of His death, up a hill, and He was nailed to it and died, again, for the sins of the world. But He says, if you want to follow after Me, you must take up your own cross and follow Me. Deny yourself and follow Me. Well, I want to do this with my life, and I want to do that, and I think I deserve this. Yeah, but you are to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow after Him. Suffering is part of the gospel. Persecution is part of the gospel. I said last time that these verses portray the ideal Christian attitude, behavior, and responses. These ideals are completely opposite what the church is interested in today. They want flashy, they want hip. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. For 30 years at least, the church has been captivated by money grubbers, thieves, saying, sow a seed into this ministry, put a check in the envelope, and by the time the mailman comes, you'll be saved and healed and whatever. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Well, it's, I guess, one chapter, but, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Be nice to be rich, I suppose. It's certainly good to be prosperous. But the apostle said the most important thing is that your soul prospers. Who cares if you have enough money to eat on a particular day, much less put gas in that Cadillac or Lexus? Timothy said that the time's going to come when no one cares about sound doctrine. They want a feel-good message. They want a message preached every Sunday night, I suppose, on TV by a man that cannot tell you whether the sinner is going to hell. Can't tell you if Islam is wrong. Trips over himself. Hurts himself trying to not offend anyone by his speech. Laodicea, remember that church in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17? There's a few verses, but it says in verse 17, again, thinking about the prosperity preachers, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. If you lay up treasures for yourself on earth by giving to the man on the television and hoping that you become rich, well, those riches can be stolen or evaporated. The money system could crash like it's doing in Greece, and all your prayer clause and all of that stuff is worthless. But if you lay up treasure in heaven, in other words, as your soul prospers, as 3 John verse 2 says, nothing, no moth can get into heaven and eat your stuff. No rust can attack your stuff in heaven. Make sure your soul prospers. You know, it says the meek shall inherit the earth, and that we should be poor in spirit. Humble, meek. These qualities are viewed by the world as the definition of weakness. You want to get ahead in life, you need to be the best you can. You need to be assertive. I believe in being assertive when it's time and necessary. In the business world, you have to have some kind of go-get-em attitude. You need to have hustle, what have you. I understand that. But in the church, you need to let Jesus be your hustle. I alluded to it before, that reporters mock Christians for wanting to do right. They make fun of them. And they make fun of Christians for believing that others also ought to do right. In other words, others ought to repent and get saved and be in church instead of the bars. Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, which incidentally was dedicated to Lucifer. Not exactly the one you ought to write your books and dedicate them to. He perfected the art of using the Christian strengths against him. Ridicule. What kind of attitude should we have? Isaiah chapter 58, verse 5 through 11. If you know your Bible, you know what I'm going to say. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Forget sending your money to the guy on television. You want to be healed? Then care about the guy who can't do for himself. Maybe you can give your old clothes that you're not going to use to somebody on the street. Maybe you can be a part of a street ministry. Maybe you can take time and have compassion for those less well off than yourself. Then thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Imagine that. You call, God says, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. Your worst day. Your worst day can be as noon to somebody in need. You just lost your job. Somebody died. It's got a horrible weather outside, and you just want to go hide under the bed. Your worst day. Your worst day is 12 o'clock noon on a bright summer day. Because you have something, if you're a Christian, that the world desperately needs. And again, on your worst day, you can lead someone to Christ. Simply by following chapter 5 here, these first few verses, the Beatitudes. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. We need to decide to live for God, His way, not the TV's way. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil wants to discourage you, knock you off your block, get you to deny God, get you to quit going to church, get you to quit living these beatitudes. That's what he's about, but understand it. And again, persecution is part of the gospel. The Christian is not supposed to stand up for himself. Jesus didn't. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 through 8. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We are healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. All we like sheep are gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off or killed out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. Look what Jesus suffered. Again, 24 hours of hell on earth. I mentioned it before. They beat him. They mocked him. They plucked his beard from his face. They took a crown of thorns and jammed it into his forehead and encircled his head. They beat him with 40 lashes. And then they interrogated him. All he had to do at any point was call out to Herod, and Herod would have said, okay, that's it. He would have received medicine and been cared for and been allowed to live. But his choice was to go to the cross for us. Jesus did not stand up for himself. The Christian shouldn't do so either. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, and a few verses on. If there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man upon his own things, but every man also upon the things of others. Let this mind or attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, and we know that he was God come in the flesh, Emmanuel, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It's weakness to deny yourself. It's weak to take up your cross. It's weak to depend upon God and pray and ask him to help. That's what the world thinks you're a fool for going to church and praying. But that's exactly what God asks of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You can shout that you're the head and not the tail, and some churches teach you to do that. You can shout that you are somebody. But Jesus Christ made himself a nobody. And he calls you and I to do the same. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We appreciate, again, the opportunity. Lord, help us to live worthy of our calling. Help us to take what was given and apply it to our hearts. Help us to live so that you are pleased with us and the way that we act. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.